Good evening and welcome to Your Call. Tonight's special guest is someone who redefined the term power woman in Indian television, and she's going to do it with Hindi movies next. Joining me tonight is Ekta Kapoor. Let's just look at some of the highlights of that 20-year journey.
Daddy, aapne mujhe bulaya tha?
Nahin. Pados ki city ko maine awaaz di.
Tulsi, kya hua? Tum ro kyun rahi ho?
नहीं कुछ नहीं. अगर ये इंसान मेरी बच्ची को खुश नहीं रख सकता तो उसने उसके साथ शादी की.
I hope कि आपके पति को भी प्यार करना आता है.
It's fascinating how the biggest heroine of Indian television is somebody who's off screen. If your life was a television serial, in many ways ups and downs are similar to that, what would be the next twist coming out? Because Ekta Kapoor always has a plot up her sleeve.
The next twist would be I think this time I want God to preempt it. Come on, man. I can't write them all.
You rewrote all the roles in Indian television, but it's much tougher to do that in Bollywood, which in a sense is a very male-dominated, Absolutely. Very entrenched, star system-oriented industry. How is Ekta Kapoor going to actually fit into that?
You know, it's a big boys club there. Everyone knows it. You got to drink with them. You got to hang with them. And I'm clearly given the respect because of Dad, and then how do you get the respect to actually turn into someone saying yes to do a film with you? But I think after Once Upon a Time, a little more after Dirty Picture, people took us a little more seriously. Mm-hmm. A bit too seriously, so we went and made Kya Super Cool Hai Hum.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because you've gone ahead and preempted the censor board, at least by releasing the latest trailer, not on TV, but on the net. So let's just have a look at that trailer. Let's just have a look at that.
ऐसी ही फिल्में युवा पीढ़ी को बिगाड़ती हैं.
समझ में नहीं आता सरकार क्या कर रही है.
रोक दो.
हम इसके खिलाफ आंदोलन करेंगे.
ऐसी फिल्में युवा पीढ़ी पे कलंक है.
हम कहते हैं इन दोनों को बैन करो.
किसी लड़कियां तुझे फोन करती है यार. मैंने पूछा हु स्पीकिंग, तो बोलती है आई एम वेट.
अबे इडियट, वेट का मतलब है जानवरों की डॉक्टर.
विद्या बालन का ब्लाउज फ्रॉम द डर्टी पिक्चर.
Ekta, you thumbed your nose at the censors right there, especially with those beginning lines which says this will be a kalank on Indian cinema and how is the government allowing this. You're actually going out there and courting controversy, aren't you?
I tell you what, yesterday I showed the promoter Tarana Darshan. He was like, it's naughty, but it's not as bad. You know, actually, I think I'm not taking no panga with the censor board, but like I have a lot of movies out there I can give examples of which are clearly not naughty, they're crass, they're deal with sexuality in a little more basic way and in a more covert way. So covert that it's overt, if I'm being mistaken to use Sherlock Holmes' line. But I think, you know, we've got to understand that the viewer out there is ready for a certain kind of entertainment. It's an adult promo, clearly catering to the adult viewer. Humor that I think we all have in our homes is naughty at times, and it doesn't really get into becoming cheap. So I think, what's the big deal? So I think I'll handle the censors.
How do you make that distinction between crass and cheap? Because in the Dirty Picture, you managed that completely differently. I mean, you didn't have anyone saying it was cheap, but you will have people saying this is cheap.
See, I don't care as far as some people saying what they feel. I mean, as I said from the beginning of the promo, I've said that there's going to be a lot of fuddy-duddy standing there and telling me what I should do or not. But as I said, I don't. Dirty Picture was the title actually had a subtext which a lot of people didn't get, because of which we landed up again in censor trouble, which was the dirty picture of the world, you know, the double standards. And it was a woman who acted in dirty pictures, but her life was, it was a success because it was about a survivor. There was no martyr. Clearly, we didn't make her cry at the end of it to actually make it look like a sob story. Which is also what shocked people. Like, she was very okay with her sexuality. At that time, people got away with it because a lot of people supported the thought. Mm-hmm. This one, I really don't expect people to... I'm actually telling you what the film is all about. So, it's your choice. You want to enter the theater to laugh, have fun, see double meaning in dendos. It's adult, it's funny, and I think if Aamir Khan can do it with a Delhi belly, why can't I? Mm-hmm.
So, you said you don't care about some people, but there will be people who say, look, these are the kind of movies which bring down Bollywood.
Wow! My reaction to them is, I'm really sorry.
I've got somebody on the phone now who wants to ask you a question. The survivor you talked about and someone who you've made a hero, Vidya Balan, joins us.
Oh, how nice!
Hi, Ekta.
Hi, Vidya.
This is very funny to have a conversation like this.
I know.
I have to ask you a question. Why did you cast me in The Dirty Picture? I know Milan told me that I was your first and last choice. I'm very, very flattered by that. Thank you. But what was it that... Obviously, because it was not, obvious casting. So I've always been intrigued by this. And just by the way, why have you used only my blouse in Kya Super Cool Hai Hum?
You know, there's a line in Kya Super Cool Hai Hum, let me answer that first, where it says, ye Vidya Balan ka blouse hai, ye 3 crore mein this guy, Anupam Kher has bought it. Because just your blouse costs 3 crores now. How can I afford you in a small film like Kya Super Cool Hai Hum? As far as the first question goes, that why did I cast you? Why would I want to cast anyone else when we are honored to have you in our industry? You're gorgeous, you're smart, you understand subsex as far as performance goes, and you're brave. All these reasons.
It's a gamble that really paid off. I mean, I think not just even those people you love to hate, the critics, I think this was acclaimed both commercially and critically. But I made that point that you made a hero, and people asked that how will Ekta Kapoor in the world of Bollywood with studios like Yash Raj, where stars are taken on the basis of their last name and not really on basis of their acting ability, how will you make it?
Even I don't know. My whole idea is that I have to do what I have to do and constantly shock myself, my viewer. Alt is created so that we don't hurt the mass sensibilities of Indian audiences who attach, like family brand Balaji, mm-hmm. will not make a Kya Super Cool Hai Hum. There's Alt for that. But the whole idea of starting Alt was clutter breaking. If I don't break the clutter and make regular movies only, I'd actually be very bored. And it's not my scene anyways.
You don't think it'll actually cut off the so-called regular stars from working with you?
No, I would do that too. I would do that too. I mean, I would work with Shah Rukh, but clearly when he's ready to work with me. And to that, I've got to, like, I mean, like, you're pushed into the pool, you better learn to swim. Mm-hmm. If I'm not getting the big stars, then I'm going to sit at home. I'm going to make whatever I can make and then survive.
How will you keep your own identity here? Because here, in a sense, you conquered the world of television, but here you're still a small fish in a big pond.
Absolutely. I love it. Quite cute now. I'm out of my comfort zone. I'm beginning like a newcomer. I feel younger already. I think with Dirty Picture, they've taken me a little more seriously, but I'm just telling you incidences of pre-Dirty Picture when I went to meet the star. And he was like, you know, what is so doing so well on television? Which was actually not the truth, but I was like, okay, why are you doing movies? And I said, you know, just want to learn something. And you know, I was happy about the fact that I was not being taken too seriously. Mm-hmm. I did not have any expectations on my back. I did not have to stand up and say, okay, now I have to give a hit. And that actually opened my mind so much, because here it was, no one was expecting anything from me. Whatever I did, hit or flop, would be clearly something that I would probably not be judged for. While on television, I was living under huge pressure that every show has to be a success. So I actually felt quite relieved.
Do you find that people feel threatened by you, especially now in the film industry? You've had this huge success. Do you think that you're being seen as a bit of a threat now? Because insecurity, I think, is what, especially something like the Hindi film industry, insecurity is what they thrive
on. Films are full of boys, and it's a big boys club. Yeah, personally, professionally, I've always found the male species threatened by me. So I just live with it now.
But one thing which comes out, and I think maybe perhaps in a way when we talk about you being called progressive and regressive at the same time between television and film, the hypocrisy, in and especially in urban India, people would say about sex and sexuality. Do you think that's something you also tend to poke fun at in this whole film?
Absolutely. I find any kind of hypocrisy very, very irritating, because you do television and you start judging television, most of the intellectuals do, without watching it. They're like, why are women wearing saris? And it's the same thought like it was in movies. Amitabh Bachchan was identified because of Man on the Roads, but when he hit 10 people, it was aspiration. We made these women plumper. They were like local women living in small towns, having family issues. That was the identifiable part of it. And they dressed up well, they gave it back in a family discussion, actually took some decision making on their own, which was the aspirational part of it. So it's actually the same thing, and no one could see that, why are all the women good or bad? Really, like, because it's about women, it's high time we have a medium where we have the vamps and the heroines, women, and while you have it the same happening in movies, where the hero and the villain are actually dealing with it, and the woman just, you know, dances and songs. In television, men do that.
That's a big difference. Women are the heroes.
Absolutely.
And men are the eye candy.
That's what I always say. I said the boys have to look good on television, the women have to act.
So how did you choose, actually? Because Ram Kapoor was an unlikely hero. And I thought one interesting transition was that, okay, we finally saw a makeout scene on Indian television. We wouldn't have seen that perhaps when you were in your Kyunki days. We didn't see that with Tulsi and Mihir. But so how could this new Ekta Kapoor decided to actually let a couple make out on TV?
In 2008, when I came up with this concept, nobody wanted to support it, because they were like, grown-up romance, older people, who'll see it? And let's make it in a village. I said, let's do an urban romance. Let's deal with urban issues. Let's deal with loneliness when you're not married after 35. In India, there are people like this, and people will identify, because any emotion may be alien, but you identify with one grain of it if it works. So I said, the basic grain of it is nice, because you have two people coming together. And then I said, why create all those gorgeous looking men? Because I think a grown-up woman has a different ideology when it comes to sex appeal. Mm-hmm. She doesn't really only look at a man with a tanned body or six abs. She likes men with a sense of humor, men with their little quirks, and men who probably in life support you when you need them the most. Mm-hmm. So I was like, let's experiment, and it worked.
And so the huge feedback to that lovemaking scene, I mean, it was trending globally on Twitter. And because the feedback you got to that also was extreme.
Yeah, we couldn't have a romantic scene between two people who who are mature adults, who've been in a marriage, who've not had any physical contact, actually coming together and not have a kiss. I thought it would look very funny if I had just cut to a wall or something like that. And especially not in a bade achhe lagte hain. I think people forgot, but on a rival channel, a few months before, they had two men kiss and no one watched it. And we had Ram Kapoor and Sakshi Tanwar do a brief peck on the lips. And I don't know, Twitter went mad, people went mad, there were like diverse reactions. I was like, we gotta do what we gotta do. I'm just expecting the same kind of reaction for this promo. I'm going to be bitched out majorly.
It's the Ekta effect, I think, more than anything else. Well, we went from Vidya, as I said, someone you made a hero now. But what about somebody you made a hero when it all began? Smriti Irani joins me now with this question for you.
Hi, Ekta. There was a time when a lot of your shows were pulled off air and many critics called them regressive. But when I saw the shows that replaced us, I saw that most of them were the same old Saas Bahu or family dramas that you've made famous on Indian television, just in a different packaging. So how do you feel today when most of the people are just doing versions of the family dramas you produced, and the same critics who call you regressive end up writing copy versions of what you did on Indian television?
I don't know, you know, Smriti, I just know that what we did, because we started it all, we'll always find a place in history. The rest can follow suit and be Me Too's or spin-offs. And as far as I'm concerned, I never thought what critics said. And I really don't care. Their job is to criticize, analyze. My job is to do my job. Like something that I think Steve Jobs said, research is for people who want to see what is happening. What we do is tell people what they want, not learn from them what they want.
Mm-hmm. And with Smriti and Tulsi, how did that work? I think she's still 20 years on, holds a certain iconic place in Indian television.
Absolutely. I saw her in my office. She was wearing jeans. That was a slim Tulsi. Tuck-in shirt. And they said, this girl wants to audition. And I saw her standing outside. She was a bit nervous because she was done Miss India before. And she smiled. And when I saw her smile, I told them, please audition her. And she was a raw actor, but her Hindi was perfect. And she seemed like a girl who, if she cried, if she did the audition, or she had tears in her eyes, you felt bad for. I said, this girl will make India cry. And that's what I want. I want her to smile and people should support her. It became so bad that my amma, who used to look after me, was living in my house at that time. She's no more. Actually came to me and said, I want to meet Tulsi. And when she went to office, she blessed her and started crying. So I was like actually seeing the effect she had on people.
And yet, after all that, at the height of that stardom, you did another coup in a way and you just removed her as Tulsi.
Nothing drives me. There were many other issues then, but more than anything else, it was about, you know, you always will realize that life's a circle. Every thought is a circle. I can create clutter-breaking content, and if I don't constantly reinvent myself and my shows, whatever once worked will become stagnate. So Smriti had to leave the show. People had to have an outcry to have her back. And when she came back in the show, it was acceptance that we had not even seen when she first came.
But how do you deal with all the baggage that accompanies decisions like this? People who say you're dominating, how you treat stars like daily wage workers. You're basically the real star. There's no other star, Balaji.
No, there are many stars. But more than anything else, I think now I like, there's a line in Once Upon a Time 2, I'm going to use it here, which is that there's a scene where the Sohib says that, I never keep my gun loaded. My reputation is good enough.
That's an interesting aspect, because many have pointed, you said that people must be thinking you're a split personality, because people called you regressive on television, progressive in film. In real life also, people will ask about the contradiction that you're a very religious, spiritual person, yet your films seem very sensual, in your face, very modern, or as people would put it, extra modern. Do you think that's what today the urban young Indian is? Very different people in one.
I think on Tuesdays I go to the temple, on Wednesdays I'll go and watch a movie, on Fridays I'll drink out with my friends, and on Saturdays I'll probably visit the temple again. I can't be slotted. I love adult humor. I love a mantra as much as I would love hearing a mantra in the morning, the way I would love to hear a Adele song. I do not think, I mean, I yet get mushy when I hear Coldplay. So, I mean, I don't think I should be slotted. I am the young urban Indian who likes naughty humor, who likes seeing survivor stories, women who are aware of their sexuality, who are spiritual, and who work hard to achieve what they want. So, I mean, really, as I said, critics can sit and decide and decipher and categorize and put me in boxes. I'll jump out of them.
You jump out of them, but also I think what you've restored is the story as king and the content. And I think when we, you know, when you look beyond the fact that, okay, sex is a part of it, not the script is really an essential part of all your movies or your television shows as well. What goes into deciding what subject will interest you? I mean, I read recently that at one point there was a controversy that the Arushi case was used, and Neeraj Grover actually had worked in Balaji in your company. That happened right after that. You said that LSDs, some elements of that, reminded you of real life in Mumbai.
When the script of LSD came to me, I was wanting to start alt. And I didn't want alt to be a star-studded affair with like big stars, where we were piggy-banking on success. We wanted it to be clutter-breaking storytelling that actually went out and probably, if not changed the type of movies being made, but pushed the envelope a bit. When Dabankar narrated me, it just immediately hit home, because when Meenal Baghel was doing her book, she came up with a very strong question that she said, you're as much to blame as probably the girl who killed Neeraj Grover. And I was like, why? She says, you made a young 21-year-old boy or 24-year-old boy come from a small town and take over something as big as casting. It's actually a power that you even don't know, unimaginable power to actually cast or choose the first level of casting to bring to you. Which means that somehow it can give them undue advantage, or they can take this power in the wrong way. And I was like thinking, I'm like, you have young people coming to Bombay. Sex is no longer for enjoyment. Somebody is shooting somebody. Somebody wants to get famous. Mm-hmm. Somebody is using sex to get famous. Somebody is using sex to get back. I mean, it was happening all over with these small town kids that we were hiring. 50 new kids were coming every year into Balaji. And I was like, this is the film that I want to make now. And that's how I told Dibankar, no star cast, fine. Mm-hmm. Budget, fine. Let's do this one.
Mm-hmm. Is it, we keep hearing about this whole casting couch, but in a way it's an outdated concept, because the point you made is true.
Absolutely
that
outdated.
Because here sex is being used. Here again, women are not necessarily the victims in all cases.
If I ever show you my mobile, you'd be shocked. I mean, if you go to my Facebook, you'll be shocked. I mean, there are various people from various spheres of life, various thought processes, writing unbelievable messages. And you're like casting couch. I mean, for us, it's like a medical job, you know. You're like seeing so much of flesh that it no longer holds, importance. You're like casting gorgeous men every hour. Mm-hmm. So after like 5 years, you'll be like, whatever.
We're just going to go across to more people from Mumbai and also from Bhopal. Let's just hear what they've got to ask you.
Hi, Ekta Kapoor. This is Samina Safdari here. Your serials have often taken a leap of about 20 years and 5 years and so on. Then we don't get to see our lovable character in that serial again. So why is it so? Please, could you explain about it so that our viewers would know?
Hi, Ekta Kapoor. I'm Amtas here. Your first serial was a comedy one, Hum Panch. And later it was switched, later you have switched on to the family serial drama. So why, what made you switched on to the family drama serial?
Those two look very, I have to say, shaken by your look, completely shattered by your decision. Do you find that odd of television kind of connect? It's like you've killed off members of their family, or you've fast forwarded members of their family.
Mere Jet got me, and people were abusing me all over. I think I'm very proud about doing TV because of this, because I get all kinds of viewers, and old aunts tell me that their evenings spent well because they watch TV. First question the lady put is, why do I take leaps? I told you earlier, we don't have season breaks here. We need to get freshness back into a show. And when a show stagnates, we have to sometimes remove viewers, bring them back at some time, because only you realize the value of something only when it's lost. And the second question the lady put was, why did I get into family drama? Why did I make the switch? Well, I think I'm constantly switching. If it's family dramas, or it's comedies, or it's adult comedies, or it's survivor stories and biographies, I think I get bored easily. I'm a Gemini woman.
Some more questions from Bhopal.
Hi, Ekta. मैं योगिता भोपाल से. मैं आपके बचपन से लेकर एक क्वेश्चन पूछना चाहती हूँ. मैंने कहीं पढ़ा है कि आप अपने पापा के साथ एक बार शूट पे गईं और एक हीरोइन के पीछे चप्पल लेके दौड़ पड़ी, तो वो मुझे समझ भी नहीं आया कि ऐसा आपने क्यों किया, तो आप मुझे प्लीज बताएंगे कि ऐसा क्यों हुआ?
Is that true?
Yeah, I was obsessed with my father. I was a child who didn't let him, when I was a kid, I was so small, I didn't let him talk to anyone. So I remember shooting with Helen, and Helen told him, if looks could kill, there's a kid there in the audience who wanted to kill me. This happened not with a heroine, but in the Nairobi airport. He had gone to shoot, and I told him, he could not sign an autograph when I was around. I was like, why are they coming and taking pictures with my father? And my mom was the only woman allowed to talk to my father. Even his own mother couldn't talk. I was a crack child. Clearly, the insanity continued. But yeah, I did that.
I don't know how she actually heard about that. So that's good. But it wasn't heroine. Who was it? It was a hapless fan.
It was a fan. And she saw this kid. I was only about 7. Running behind her with a shoe. And my father and mother were trying to control me. And I was like, how dare you? And she kissed my dad on the cheek. She was like, lots of fans, and they were kissing my dad, and I couldn't take it. I was so possessive.
Mm-hmm. What's the worst rumor you heard about yourself? Because there's so many of them. They'll stretch from various things.
I have now decided not to react to rumors, because as I said, I used to be a human being. Now I'm folklore.
You were talking about your father, and I've got your father to ask you a question. Let's have a look at that.
Hi, Ektu. When you started your TV company, of course, I was apprehensive because I did not know how good or bad you are in your creative work. So I was wondering what you will do with the TV programs that you were making at that time. And initially you had a lot of not very encouraging results, and you withheld, you stood by all that, and eventually what you did everybody knows. So that's okay, you did very well in films, TV. Then you started doing movies. There also initially you were not very, very successful initially. Then gradually you're getting hold of it and you're doing very well there. And something which is very personal, that is, you were trying to lose weight, you were losing weight, but the kind of weight you lost now, that is also very creditable. You achieved that. So I think all the things which you wanted, you're doing very well for yourself. Only thing I want to ask you is, what next?
His what next was, when am I getting married?
But he apparently first asked that 20 years ago, because when he at that time also he told him, now either do something or get married. So he's been wanting this marriage for 20 years. But yeah. no such luck yet.
I'm finding the right guy. And seeing the way things are going, I'm not seeing them anywhere.
I think men will be scared of you now. Are they intimidated by you?
A lot.
What next? But forget about the marriage bit. But what next for Ekta Kapoor?
As I said, God is writing my script. He'd know better.
And God is always there for you. He's very much a part of your life, isn't he?
I think, yeah, I'm spiritual because of the fact that I know exactly where God is. He's in my heart. And I live my life knowing fully well that in the next 2 years or 3 years, whatever I've planned professionally, I let it happen. Mm-hmm. But personally, I let God write my script.
Ekta Kapoor, thank you so much for joining us tonight.